Here's Mary Ellen Angelscribe, author of Expect Miracles, with a Miracle Minute.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tara. And it's great to be back on the airwaves with bbsradio.com. They do such a great job, and I'm really enjoying my time spent with you and helping to bring a lot of metaphysical subjects to the floor. I usually do talk on the subject of spirituality or metaphysics for the first 30 minutes of the show, and then at half past I do take phone calls, and the number to call at that time is 1-877-876-5227, but please hold them. Hold all the calls until 30 minutes past the hour. And we talked last week, we talked a lot about the forerunners of parapsychology, organizations that were out there, the SPR, which is the English organization. And I had so many emails and requests and information come in about this that I wanted to kind of carry it on because I found it a very fascinating subject, because really in the 1800s, 1900s in particular, the societies, a lot of societies were formed, and a lot of very well-educated men of science, doctors, doctors of psychology, chemists, were beginning to do some research on mediumship as well as other forms of phenomena. And in the counterpart to the SPR was formed in America, and it was American Society. And it actually still exists today, and I was doing some research on the web about that. They are still they still have an active society. Their psychical research, though, has kind of gone from researching mediums to more researching electronic voice phenomena a little bit. But it was originally formed in 1885 to really research psychic phenomena and paranormal phenomena, but mainly it was at that time really studying mediumship in America and looking into things that were very unusual. And in fact, they had Chester Carlson, who was actually a scientist who worked for the Exxon Corporation and was fascinated by psychic phenomena and things of that nature, and really wanted to understand it and wanted to see it studied in a more scientific way, because he had such a background in science that he really wanted to see it become more of a thing that could be taken to the laboratory and studied in a more formal way. And they had really amazing people working for this society during the 1800s. They had some counterparts from the British Society came over and helped set it up. I'm afraid I'm pronunciating his name wrong, so I'm going to spell it H-Y-S-L-O-P. He was a very amazing professor of logic, and he came over and worked for a long time with the society, and actually until his passing in the 1920s. The society, though, today really does a lot more with electronic voice phenomena. They're doing quite a bit of research on that, so it's certainly something to still check out. Ask for more information. They do have a website, and it's www.aspr.com. What I really found fascinating as I went on this search for parapsychology, and one of the reasons it kind of got my interest about, so what's out there now for us? Where are we going if we wanted to have a career in parapsychology? Because, you know, but when you watch TV, you're kind of misled that there's all these dynamic universities studying parapsychology, because you see all these movies where, you know, the guys from some university that have a parapsychology lab go out and study, you know, the freaky scary house and the poltergeists and the, you know, all these houses, Amityville Horror, all these things. And yet, when you go in search of trying to find parapsychology that is an accepted, accredited science backed by a university, it's far and few between. I was actually quite disappointed to find out that parapsychology as a career is very limited. One of the websites I checked out was HealthStream.Virginia Education Institute Personality Studies career. And it was really interesting to me to really find out that there is very limited areas or opportunities to study, that you almost have to have a degree in psychology already to get into parapsychology. So it's really kind of become under the guise of psychology, and yet very kind of poo-pooed and in the background, with the one exception that I found that I thought was interesting. Duke University used to have quite a large field of study because it actually was part of the Rhine Institute, which was the person that we were talking about that really coined the phrase PSI and ESP, and was, I mean, extremely known. Dr. Rhine was known for many, many breakthroughs in the studies, and his partner was Zenar, who came up with the Zenar card. So Duke University used to have quite a large study in place of looking into this as a science, yet I could find very little now in the present day, although someone did assure me that the Rhine Institute is still connected with Duke University. So if any of my listeners find out more information on that, I'm very interested, because I have yet to really track down a university that would give you accreditation in a degree of parapsychology in the United States. Now, someone told me that most of the accreditations are really linked with England, outside of the United States, England and Germany. They seem to be the ones that are carrying on and really hanging on to the widest area in this field to keep accreditation going, and are really quite involved in keeping really filling all the spaces in this. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Welcome
it's
to the show. Hi.
Hi.
Who am I talking to?
My name is Kim.
Hi, Kim.
I'm from Louisiana.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
How can I help you today?
I was wondering if you could give me any insight into my husband's health situation. Not necessarily his actual physical health, but
okay. How
I'm kind of supposed to deal with it.
Okay. I usually take calls at half past the hour. I just want to remind my callers.
I'm
That's
sorry.
Okay, Kim. That's okay. What I need, Kim, is his first name.
Charlie.
Charles at birth?
Yes.
Well, and I am not a doctor. I can not prescribe. What I am reading is his energy field, so that's what I'll go on. I feel like when I'm in his energy field, my whole body is kind of gray. In other words, there's something going on that's affecting the whole system. Do you understand this, yes or no?
Yes.
I do feel like that. Is he on medication?
Yes.
Let me take away the medication for a minute. When I'm in this, the whole body is still affected. So it's because sometimes when you do this, you know, and they're on medication, you see that as gray too. This is gray going in the body, honey. It's not going out. So he's not on the recovery of it yet. Do you understand this?
Yes.
And because it is a health thing, I want to be very sensitive. You know,
no,
not
I don't expect
things.
Him to recover.
So what I want
to
say
to
you is I don't think it is recovering, and I do think it's a coping thing. What I see that's the most important is his emotional state right now, his being supported. It's almost like he really needs someone to listen to his history, and he's working on forgiveness. So what I want to say to you is he's struggling with his mortality, okay? Have you read the book Healing Grief by James Van Praagh?
I don't know if I have, but I've read some of his books, but I don't know
yeah,
if I've read
I would
that
grab
one.
That book because it heals grief from a lot of things, not just passing and other things. Here's what I want to say to you is a huge peace comes in 2 weeks, honey, for him. Okay, emotionally. So
okay.
There's a peace coming, which will help you get peace because you've been on woulda, shoulda, coulda overload for a while now.
Yeah,
this
I have.
It's not a new thing.
Right,
this
exactly.
Been ongoing
it's
ongoing for a long time.
Yeah, it's just accelerating.
Yeah,
it seems like rapidly now.
Yeah, it's and I think it's gonna and I really feel when I'm in his energy, it's one of those things where you just don't come. You go to sleep and then you don't come out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the stability, the emotional flip for him, okay, in his emotionalness, is coming in like a week and a half.
Okay.
So that will take a lot of stress off you. Because right now he's kind of angry. got into the anger stage. If you read Kobler-Ross's work, it talks about anger, denial, bargaining, acceptance. And he's going to go from angry to acceptance. He's going to kind of skip the bargaining thing, okay?
Good.
He's already done the why me stuff. So I really feel like that this, you know, like I said, the two-week thing, things flip, and that takes a lot of it off your shoulders. I also have to say, hon, if you could remember or view this not as your husband in this moment, but as a child that you dearly love, that mindset, it would be easier for you. Because I really feel one of the big things in this relationship is some forgiveness stuff on both sides. And it's not about, you know, sometimes we have a bigger need to heal than to be right.
Right.
And that's where you are. You know,
I totally agree.
You're totally in that space where it's more about you guys healing your emotions and healing what you came in to work out rather than the need to be right or wrong or strong or not strong. It's just where you are. And so the emotional healing for you is, and a lot of angelic help is going to come in. Like I said, actually for you, you've got spiritual backup coming in like in the next 24 hours.
Thank you so much.
So you won't have such burden. And I really want you to know, you know what, you're doing a really good job of forgiving yourself, the whole situation, just turning this around in a dynamic way. And, you know, that's sometimes what we have to do. We have to realize that it's not about now. Sometimes it's about the karma we brought in with us.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and you're really doing a great job. So there won't be any of that unfinished business for either of you. For either of you. Is his mother also passed, honey?
His dad is. His mom is alive.
Has she got a major health issue, too?
Not that I know of.
Because I feel like mom's kind of getting in this in some way.
Oh, she's she's really stepped. See, we have a 7-year-old son who's got learning issues, disabilities. So, and I'm a full-time. I work full-time.
Right, right.
You're carrying
the load. You're hauling the wagon up the hill, honey.
And so, right. And so, she's really stepped up and really kind of.
I couldn't tell if she was here or on the other side because, in a way, it's like she's not the same person you dealt with for X amount of time.
Okay.
Like she's emotionally flipped too with this. And the reality of what's going on. So, you know, I really think you're pulling in some good backup. And you guys are going to view the dynamics of the family are going to change. So it's not the blame game.
Right.
It's the support game. And that's really what it should have been in the beginning.
Right.
So I hope that helps, hon. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Blessings so much. You take
care. Oh, you too. Thank you.
We'll put you on the prayer team, hon.
Thanks.
You bet. Blessings.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. I really believe no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm, you know, teaching or whatever is going on the show, I do believe that spirit comes first. So I trust if someone calls in out of sync, I just go with the flow with that. And I hope that is helping her and taking some of the stress out of her life. But I totally forgot where I am. So if you'll give me just a moment to take a deep breath here and go back to research. Oh, I was saying that Duke University still, from my understanding, is connected with the Ryan Institute. Now, I don't know if that's directly connected with Duke University. I know that Dr. Ryan, when he was doing his studies, was connected there. So, but I could not find anything on the net that said they still had a parapsychology division, which is sad because it was really one of the leading universities for that. Someone told me that there is also a university in Virginia, but I do not have confirmation on it, that supposedly has a parapsychology program connected with its psychology program. So in other words, your degree would be in the solid psychology, your sub-degree would be parapsychology, or your minor, I guess they call it, major and minor, I'll get it right. So I was really fascinated about this because, to me, I really believe we as mediums, as psychics, clairvoyants, dedicated students, are going to need to be ready to go in the laboratory more, to be tested, to be ready to step up and prove the disbelievers wrong, to bravely go into that space where Edgar Cayce a lot of very, Eileen Garrett, she worked very, very direct with some of the laboratories and scientists in the early years, and in fact, the American SPR. So these kind of mediums that are really willing to be tested, John Edwards, George Anderson, N.B. Gaiman, there's Alison Dubois has been tested, and most of that testing was done by Gary Swartz out of the University of Arizona. Now, when I was going on the net and looking at all this, actually, thank you, Rebecca May, for helping me with this. Most of you know I'm not real savvy on the net yet, but she really did find me some really great information on it's now called the Laboratory for Advances in Consciousness and Health. It was formerly called Human Energy Systems Laboratory, and it is under the sub department of psychology at the University of Arizona. Now, I have not found that they actually have a parapsychology degree, but what I have found is that they are still doing research on mediums. It's still an active study that they're conducting. They're starting a program. They started in January 2007. And they're doing a triple blind study that will be, hopefully the results will be published in the Journal of Science and Healing. Again, Gary Swartz is doing that, and I think it's going to be very, very fascinating. He so far seems to be very much involved with the studies. Now, one of the people that was working with him is Julie, and last name is, again, hard for me to spell, Bissell, PhD. And now she says she was actually working with the Rhine Research Center. So it appears to me that the Rhine Research Center is not connected now with Duke University. They're two separate things. It could be a separate funded association that does grants. So the primary focus of this research is mediumship communication research project. So it is something they've just started, and I believe they're looking for other mediums. Certainly try and go on the net and find out if it is still open to be studied. I understand you actually have to be reviewed by several people before you're entered into the study program and have to be tested extensively. So it's not just walk in and say, you know, I'm so-and-so, a gifted medium, I want you to test me. So obviously there's some real preliminary testing that goes on and research of your abilities. They're doing this triple, which is interesting. I've heard of double blind. I have not heard of triple blind experiments. But they are doing readings where the medium is blindfolded, the sitter is in another room or out of state, and they're doing trying to eliminate fraud, cold readings, and rate base, whatever that is. So that's fascinating. And then they're scoring the accuracy, and it will be published. So that is certainly something to look forward to. And if you have not read his book, he has two out that I know of. The Truth About Mediums, where he talks about Alison Dubois and several of the other ones, and then The Afterlife Experiment. Both books excellent if you're looking into parapsychology. I know that they are, you know, when we look at, in the 1980s and 90s, there was research being done in behind the Iron Curtain because they have some of the best and very, very gifted clairvoyants that had psychokinetic abilities that could move objects under a dome glass. They could put an object under there, and they could move the pencil or the straw or whatever. So I know that behind the Iron Curtain, Germany, other countries are still doing research. However, even in the information that I was researching, the limitedness of where you could really go and study and be connected with laboratory and really get hands-on to work with other mediums to see how these experiments are going to be done seems kind of limited, which is sad because I think it's such a fascinating field and we are seeing more and more interest in it ever since, you know, we see the medium and, Ghost Whisperer. There's so much out there. But yet again, it was very fascinating to me to find out that there are, I have yet to find a university that I can say absolutely you can get your parapsychology degree in the United States, and B, what do you do with it once you got it? You know, where is your niche in this world other than at this moment at the University of Arizona where they are researching that? And even then, Gary Swartz's degrees from, I believe, Yale and actually, I don't want to quote that because I'm not sure what where his PhD is from. But his PhD and his main background was in psychology. So it appears you get your degree in psychology and hope that you can then move forward in the research and things. As I look at this article, I did highlight that they do have at the Rhine Research Center, so it's separate, it is not Duke University, they are still doing education in parapsychology. They are still speaking to students and going off the work that's been established by Dr. Rhine and his fellow academics. But it does not state that they are doing any laboratory experiments at this time. It appears they are doing basically lectures. They are still doing research, but they're not researching. It doesn't appear to be researching mediums, so it's more like field research. Investigating in the paranormal. And it's interesting because in this, when I'm looking at it, it says a university-based research in this field. The universities that they quote that are doing similar investigations into the paranormal are Princeton University, University of Arizona, University of Edinburgh, University of Amsterdam, and the University of Hertfordshire in England. Now, it does not state, and I could not find out, what exactly their research entailed. So if you're interested in this subject, keep going in search of, I think it's going to be fascinating. Please email me if you find more information. Because I know there's a lot of people out there who are into metaphysics today who have spent a lot of time reading and being in research that they go, well, like, now what do I do with this? As a clairvoyant, as a medium myself, I really want to have as much understanding of current, if I was a doctor or if I was a dentist or if I was a school teacher, I would be really trying to keep up with what's going on in the field of my chosen profession. And I feel as a clairvoyant, I have that responsibility too. I want to know who's being studied, how they're being studied, how do they facilitate those studies, and how are we making our history? Because it is our history. When you start studying the studies that were made of Lenora Piper, Eileen Garrett, Arthur Ford, Edgar Cayce, thank God Edgar Cayce's documentation was done, that he is a stenographer and most of his readings are in the ARE in Virginia Beach, that history is there. It laid a foundation of how really we should be doing and collecting our information. As I have begun to work with groups, I really have gotten much more into documentation. If you are starting your own home circle, which I totally encourage you to begin to develop small groups and form small groups and form seance circles or at least metaphysical groups, remember to document them. If you're doing seance or circles, recording, digital recorders are absolutely amazing. It's wonderful. It's important to to document what comes through from the person that is communicating through spirit, but also you'll pick up other things in the room, which we've already found out in our group to be quite interesting, is not always understood. I do think that that's one reason we will see more work and more evidence in the electronic voice phenomena that so many groups are using when they're investigating hauntings and paranormal activity in quote-unquote haunted houses or haunted places. So all of this, as much information as you can gain, like I had the Brian from Ghost Whisperers on my show, and I just really encourage you to learn as much as you can as you develop in this field. Even if it's a hobby, learning if you have a ghost-busting group in your town, if they have lectures on how to use equipment, how to use a digital voice recorder, how to use the thing that measures electronic fields, all this is part of the new science of being a clairvoyant and a psychic. Knowing that you can start documenting yourself and the experiences you have, I think are so very, very important. There's just so much for us to learn that by going back in our history, it lays the foundation, but we are breaking ground now. So if you have any questions about the subject we've talked about or have information for me, I'd love to hear from you. 1-877-876-5227. I really hope that I can bring a lot of other subjects and people. I have people that I'm trying to get to come on the show, but unfortunately, a lot of people, once they get their book published, they're very busy, and it's hard to get them on your show, but there's so many fascinating subjects within metaphysics that we have not even touched on yet in our shows. And so I hope to bring a lot more information and different aspects. Actually, I'm hoping to get a scientist that's done some of these double-blind experiments because I think it would be fascinating to see or hear their viewpoint on this, because I think being in the laboratory and seeing this, especially when you have had such a scientific upbringing, I'm sure they're asking many of the questions we do. Is this telepathy? Am I getting information from when I sat with someone and I get a passed over loved one, or I get things that are going on like the person just now? Am I picking up on the person I'm talking to, the loved one that's sitting there, or am I picking up on the deceased person? Those things cross my mind. Am I doing telepathy, or am I really talking to the person who's transcended, the passed over soul? It's a very gray area, and sometimes I really believe it's both, that you do get things from the center, sitters, but other times I know I'm getting it directly from the person who's passed over, because often the person that's sitting in the room has no idea what I'm talking about. You might say, your mom's talking about Aunt Martha's, you know, necklace, and you say, I don't know, my mom never had Aunt Martha's necklace, whatever that is, and then you'll go home, do research, and come back and go, guess what? Mom did have Aunt Martha's necklace. So those are things that you go, obviously, you didn't pick it from that person's mind. Edgar Cayce even talks about the fascinating connection of when he went into trance, that they asked, he had a study group, and they started asking specific questions of where was this information coming from. And in Robert J. Grant's book, he talks about that Edgar Cayce said if the person came to him and he was in trance with an honest searching, not just for self-gain, not just for ego, and not just for curiosity, he could go deeper. He would get more information to help answer that question. And he was really connected with the superconscious mind, the ultimate intelligence of the universe. And so he always talked in we have the body here, we have the information. It was never in the I form or single. And when asked, well, who is the we? Is the we angels? Is the we, he would say it was the collective consciousness mind. And at times it was angels. At times, other times, it was other collective not necessarily so much entities, but collective consciousness of several entities, including Edgar Cayce's higher self that gave the information. So when we start researching this, it's interesting to see to see how different mediums hook in to spirit. For me, most of my work has been through Dom, my guide, through a conscious medium way. In other words, I hear him, he relays information. Then at times it may shift and I hear your angels, guides. I will listen, hear them talk. And sometimes I will see or hear someone who's passed over. Often I see them, but they're not talking. I'm hearing them through mine, through hearing their mental thoughts transformed into my mind through symbols or sounds. Often when I hear angels, they come in sounds and tones. It's not in an English form. And it's in symbols and sounds and tones, and I have to have it translated into English because that's what my main communicative energy is. So these are all things that we don't think about when we're necessarily sitting in a room getting a message from a medium or a psychic. So it's fascinating to me, how does each medium psychic get their things, their information? Richard Scholler, very gifted medium in New York City, NSAC medium, which is the Spiritualist Association. He is very sensing. He senses and feels and then gets it translated into sounds and symbols. He often sees the person standing behind the person and can describe the person. If you've seen John Edwards, John Edwards very much is all the above. I think he hears, sees, knows, sees symbols. A lot of things come in symbology for him, and he uses his vast connection with TV to get names, to get symbols, to get the knowing. And he often talks about, depending on how the vibration is, sometimes it'll be very clear, and sometimes it'll sound like whispering, distant whispering, where you strain to hear it. So there's so many aspects to understanding how do we connect, how do we trust when we're getting information, and how do we even get our spirit guides? How do we attract our spirit guides? What level do we attract them from? I know that Eileen Garrett had a spirit guide named Yumina, and she gave the information very, very much clarity, consistent information. She was highly studied, Eileen Garrett was. And so I don't think I ever found out if her spirit guide lived here, if she knew very much about her spirit guide, where on the other hand, Arthur Ford got a lot of information about his spirit guide, Fletcher, who was a person who was a French-Canadian who lived actually in his neighborhood and passed at a young age. Obviously grew up on the spirit side and was his control slash guide for all his career, his main person. And I've often been asked, I have Dom Salas is his full name, but I've called him Dom since I was five. Is he my only guide? And the truth is that I have different guides at different times. He is my person that's always with me. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hiya, Tara. This Elaine, and I'm going to visit my daughter for her 30th birthday in London, and we're going to France. And I wondered what you saw for the vacation.
Okay. You're going with your daughter, and what's her first name?
Alyssa. She actually lives in London.
She lives in London.
Yeah, with my sister.
I think it's a wonderful time. I really feel like it's an overdue visit.
Yes.
Like you had planned it before, and it didn't quite happen. False starts. So I feel like this is very, very exciting. And if you're going to England, how wonderful that somebody's living there. Lucky you. There are some wonderful opportunities to get readings by magnificent mediums there. So I hope you get the chance to do that. I think it's a very good trip. It actually is something that you get a lot of healing through.
A lot of healing?
A lot of healing.
Oh, really?
I feel like there's a lot of emotional healing as well as spiritual healing that is overdue for you. And it just, you're going to have a nice time. I don't feel like I don't feel like there's any more false starts. It's a good thing. It all comes together this time for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's been there for a year, and they're selling the flat she's in, so she needs to move out and find another one.
I really feel like if that happens while you're there, that you find a place. Yeah.
Do you think she'll find a place?
Yeah, I think she stays in England. I don't think she's leaving England for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. You don't like that. But you know what? It's a really good thing for her right now. And I think you have to, you know, sometimes we have to let go and let God,
mm-hmm.
even when we're moms, you know? It's hard. But I really think this is a good place for her right now. And there's, new doors open for her. So I wouldn't jump out of, you know, being there. I think you were kind of hoping that not having the flat was a sign.
No, I know she'll be there longer, but
not a sign.
Do you see her finding one? It won't affect the trip?
No, I feel like she finds one. I don't think you have to get in frantic panic. Actually, I feel like it comes through, like you're talking to somebody and a friend of a friend says, oh, by the way, oh, you might want to look at this. It's kind of that way, hun.
Oh, okay.
I don't feel like she's beating the pavement too much.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Have a great trip.
Thank you.
Check out Finley College.
I will.
I'm jealous.
Okay.
Take care. Have a great trip.
Bye.
Blessings, hon. Yeah, if you ever get to England, please, if you can get the chance to go to Finley College, you're going to want to do it. It's fabulous. If you haven't read any of Arthur Finley's work, I highly suggest it. Some of his books are a little hard to find because some of them, I think, are out of print. But fabulous, fabulous thing. Go on the net. Check out Finley College. Totally worth it. It's, it is Hogwarts. It's where I'd want to go if I could go to a mystical, magical school. I'm dreaming and manifesting it as we speak. That is my absolute goal, to go there for a while. I'd love to. I think it's very wonderful to go to those institutions that have done this kind of research and studies and supported this kind of work. And Finley College is probably one of the best and well-known colleges for really, truly supporting mediums. They have incredible academic background. The quality of mediums that are there and teachers is probably the best, bar none. And unfortunately, I think it's been the best-kept secret for way too many years. But now I think more and more people are learning about it. It's not the easiest place to get into to actually study for a long time because now so many people are knowing about it. But it is probably one of the premier places to study if you are a truly dedicated, aspiring medium, and just the quality of teachers I can't say enough about. It's wonderful. There is also another institute, and I apologize, I cannot remember the name of it, but it is in off Belfair Square in downtown London, that also has lectures, speakers, circles that you can set in. But you do have to try and book it or get in early because it's hard to get into. Welcome to the show.
Hello, I'm on the air.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, good. I have a question.
Okay. First name and where you're calling from.
My name is Heather, and I'm calling from New Mexico. And my question is, how long I'll be able to remain in this current place where I'm living?
Actually, I feel like you probably move towards July, August of this year.
Even if I don't want to.
I know. But, you know, sometimes we go kicking and screaming, and we shouldn't. Because even though I think it's a nice place, I really think that Spirit's going to give you something better.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I really got a big hit on that. So don't be so attached, you know. Spirit says if you will not be as attached that you could even get to stay there longer.
Oh, God.
Now, there you go. Isn't that a double-edged sword? But, you know, sometimes it's that way. Sometimes if we will let go, then things change in our environment. because sometimes it's the lesson of will you trust?
No.
And I know, don't you hate that one? I do too. I always went about it. 1-800-WAN. But the truth is, you know, the universe, part of our lesson here is will we trust? Will we trust spirit? Will we trust God, Goddess, all that is, insert your favorite deity? And it's the last, it's really hard for us as humans.
Will it be a permanent move?
I feel like you stay within the state.
Yeah.
I don't think you're moving out of state or out of city even.
Oh, okay.
So it's a local move.
Oh, I could buy that.
See?
Yeah.
You know, it's like I tell my clients sometimes, I'm saying, you know, come with me. We're going to take the limo. We're going to have a few nice drinks, and we're going to go to a great party. And you're going, no, I'm waiting for the cab.
Oh.
You know? And when I say it that way, they get it. Oh, well, you know, I might be doing it. So sometimes when you're saying, I want to stay where I am. I like it. I'm comfortable. And Spirit's saying, if you'll just trust us, we have something better for you. We want to give you something a little nicer, a little, you know, less stressful. I think it's a good opportunity for you.
Yeah.
So be open to the leap of faith, hon.
Okay.
Late August, July, end of July, 1st of August. May not make the actual shift till end of August, but it's right in that time period the window of opportunity comes to you. And I think it's a good thing. So hang up on 1-800-WAN and jump.
Okay.
You know, take the leap of faith. You'll be smiling better. Yeah, because I think you're just too attached, and I think you're just done. You know,
okay.
And sometimes we're just done with spaces.
I get it.
It's all right. Yeah, blessings.
I do get
cool.
it. Thank
Actually,
you.
2007 is good for you, honey. Embrace
I'm sorry?
It. 2007 gets good for you.
Oh, good.
Financial flow better. Yeah, I'd be embracing it.
Okay.
Spread your wings a little more.
All righty.
All right.
I can go with that. Thank you.
Good.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye, hon. Yeah, it's funny how we really hang on so tight sometimes to whatever's in front of us and not realizing that we, A, have way too much on our plate, and B, you know, we're not having a good time at it. And we forget that sometimes we have to let go and let God, let Spirit, whatever God is to you, infinite intelligent, let go, because Spirit sees the bigger picture. We have such tunnel vision sometimes. I mean, it's amazing that we get through our day. The more that we let go and we're working with Spirit, the less we get stuck in our stuff. You know, we get sidetracked so often with our woulda, shoulda, couldas, if only, or, you know, all that stuff, when I get the right hairdo, when I get the right figure, when I get whatever, what I'm waiting for, you know, then my life will be perfect. And the truth is, if you're looking down and you got your feet standing somewhere, you're probably on your path. You're probably moving on your path, whether it feels sidetracked, derailed, whatever. All these experiences are part of our path, whether we like it or not. It's how we choose to react with it, how we choose to break our belief systems and create new ones in every moment. To living in the moment, that's one of the things it means. In a class I recently taught, everyone goes, well, but what does that mean? You know, how can I change? I don't understand. And I said, well, the truth is you have to be really brave and own your stuff. Look at where you are in this moment. What do you want? When I ask my clients sometimes, what do you want? They don't know, because they're so trapped in knowing what they don't want. So sometimes it's looking at your don't want list will go, okay, I got all the things you don't want, but, you know, maybe I don't see any joy here. You might want to try having some joy or having some play or not being lonely, some of these things. And because you've been practicing what you don't want so much that you really can't begin to choose what if I had what I wanted and that I don't even know what it is, where do I begin? And it is to be in the moment, to know that in this moment that I can be joyful. In this moment, I can find something simplistically to take and make me smile, make me laugh, make me be happy. That starts breaking down. And then you go, well, you know what? I like this. I like this feeling of being happy, and I can go towards it and find what will make me happy. It's really so interesting. It's very interesting to have to be, you know, The Secret is a great blessing, that DVD, The Secret. I can't say enough about it, because it really makes you take self-inventory. What am I choosing in every moment? Am I choosing poverty mentality? Am I choosing fear? We are really, truly, unfortunately, in America, quite a fear-based society. So we get trapped up in all those trappings and trip over it all the time. And parents, I really talk to parents a lot lately because I want them not to teach the next generation their fears. TV teaches fears like you can't believe. You know, it's if I see one more cop show and then busting everybody, and I know that's reality out there. I know that all that's out there tempting our kids. I'm not delusional about it. But I also believe that we have to see it differently. We have to choose a different consciousness for our kids. Because I know a lot of great kids out there that aren't doing drug and alcohol, not in gangs, not doing those things. I've met incredible people who have gotten out of gangs and now are changing the world as they know it. Amazing man. His first name is Luis. He was in a gang second or third generation and broke the pattern, changed the world because he chose to make a difference. He's chose a different lifestyle. He's chose to break that pattern. And we've got to know that there are cultures where gangs are normal. I mean, a lot of Hispanic cultures have gangs. Certainly, I think some people who are brought up in Hell's Angels, I mean, that's still their lifestyle. They don't know any better. We are changing the dichotomy and the way the world is in every moment by the conscious choices we make. And as we choose not to teach fear, but to teach self-esteem, to teach that our child is good enough, that they're bright, and that they're good. Ego got really weird on us. You know, my generation, if I was feeling good about myself, I thought that was ego, because I thought that from my mother's thing, if you thought good of yourself, they thought, oh, well, you know, that you're making someone else less than. That's not true. Self-esteem is I'm good enough. Now, that's not making anybody less than. If I happen to be a good reader, a good angelic mystic, that's just saying that's what I am. Are there other good angelic mystics? You bet. Thank God. I need every angel on board I can get. I need every, you know, good medium, every good reader out there that I can find, because they're all going to have specialties. They're all going to be different than mine. And there's enough people that are looking for upliftment that we need everybody on board. So the one gift we can give ourselves and our children is good self-esteem. So, you know, if you're in doubt of your mission, if you're not sure what your life path is, start there. What do I think of myself? What do I allow myself talk to be? How can I change that if I'm so busy beating myself up nobody else has to? It's one of the biggest things that we need to change. We came here to experience love in all our forms. And self-love is the first one we need, because if we had self-love, we could love everybody better. So hopefully we'll start down that and educating ourselves. And it takes time. You know, everything's learned in a pattern. And we get caught in the cycle of patterns that aren't even ours. And I've talked about this a lot, but it's true. And so as we go into this new awareness with the secret, and we have the new consciousness, it's not just taping the check on the ceiling that says I'm worth $1.2 million. It's not just that. That's a tool. That's like cosmic flashcards, you know, having your little sticky notes in the bathrooms and on your car dash and, you know, in your notebook and everything. Those are all affirmations to remind us to break the patterns of the past. And so we have to pay attention to that. Those sticky notes are wonderful. I mean, we use flashcards in school. We had our times table in the Peachy, you know, cheater. We used to call it cheater. You know, but it was really so that you could learn your times table. And we learn in repetitions. The other day, they had these gentlemen on Oprah that there were three black men, I believe brothers, and their mother was very, very religious, brought them up in a very they were in a very poor situation, but she stressed education, and she stressed them learning. And the son said she used to lock us in our rooms, and we used to sing our timetables, learn our timetables, and we'd sing them. And after we got them memorized, then we could go out and play, and we would ride our bikes and sing our times table. Well, you know, we would call that child abuse now because she locked them in the room. But the truth is they're all very educated all the way through college, have changed the world and now teaching another generation. And in that time, perhaps that was her only way she could find for saving her children, for making a difference. I don't think we have to lock them in the bedrooms, but we do have to make it fun. Make learning interesting. Encourage education. Education is the way out. It is the transforming of the world. And breaking patterns. I can remember smart kids. It wasn't that long ago. We're calling smart, brilliant kids nerds. Why? They're the Einsteins. They're the Mozarts. They're the people that are going to change the world. And really, in the last 10 years is the first time we have started really appreciating and validating them. We need more people who are gifted like that. We are so blessed with some of these indigos, rainbows, and crystal kids that are coming in, showing us where we need to go. What do we choose? When we can see a 13-year-old child with a health issue and a disability writing magnificent poetry and changing the world, then I can have hope that I can change the world. If I can see a child change the world, get wealth in Africa, then I can take personal responsibility and make a difference too. We are spiritual beings first. And I got off on a whole tangent, but I hope I've educated you. I think the last caller really made me want to help you know the possibilities that are out there. Don't get caught in your limitations or what you think it has to look like. Sit down and hang out with Spirit and say, I love where I live right now. I have a beautiful yard. I have a great environment. I have abundance of friends. But, I really always feel for me, and it's not for everybody, but for me, this is where I am in this moment, and it's a blessing. And it's a gift from Spirit. But if tomorrow Spirit wants me in a different place to be of service to Spirit, to God, to myself, then I'm open to that possibility. I know that there are so many people that are not happy where they are in this moment. They're lonely. They feel they don't have enough abundance. They're in situations that are very difficult, homeless even. But if you can stop in the moment and be in the moment, dear Spirit, help me with this. Call in your angels, your guides, your masters. Ask for help. I really know by that simple act of asking that Spirit does answer us. Now, it doesn't always look like what we want. I'll guarantee that. Sometimes it looks like something totally different. But that totally different thing can turn out to be a rainbow in disguise. I've really enjoyed bringing you more information on metaphysics. I hope that I will hear lots of responses. Please know my computer has been down, but you can go to our website, www.angelscribe.com, or reply through bbsradio.com. And let me know more information if you find it on parapsychology. I'm still in search of. Or if you have another subject you would like us to review and talk about, I'm still working on perhaps bringing Joanne Parks with Max the Crystal Skull and some other research. I know John Holland has a new book out, and I had a wonderful show with him one time. I hope that we can have him back on the airwaves. And so until we meet again, remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings of angels. Bless.
Mary Ellen Angelscribe, author of Expect Miracles and the Angels and Miracles Good News Letter, can be found at angelscribe.com.